Top 5 at 5. Hour number 3, quitting time on your Monday. Russell, Barry, Trey cruising along with you. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio. John Tyler in with you. Top 5 at 5 is brought to you by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. Set up your free smile consultation today at KnoxvilleSmiles.com.
Number 1, career-high 28 points from senior Jordan Bowden wasn't enough to push the Tennessee men's basketball team past 13th-ranked Auburn as the Vols fell 73-66 inside Auburn Arena on Saturday.
Steven's dad has got it going on.
Tennessee fell to 15-12 overall, 7-7 in the SEC play. Bowden scored his 28 points on 9 of 12 shooting from the field. He was 7 of 7 from the foul line, and he's actually 20 of 20 from the foul line currently over the last several games. The Vols continue their two-game road swing when they head to Fayetteville to take on Arkansas Wednesday night, tip-off at 8:30 p.m. on SEC Network.
Going to Vietnam, Russ.
Another must-win game.
They'll win.
For the Vols. They won't stop giving us hope, will they? I expect to win Wednesday.
It's a Vols fan. You got to be optimistic.
Now, they do get enough.
As Michael they Jackson get Isaiah said. Joe back.
Yeah, they do.
But we wipe the floor with them up here, man.
Without Josiah James.
It's true.
We gave you a big goose egg. So.
Number 2, XFL weekend recap for you guys. Houston beat down Tampa Bay. Dallas beat Seattle.
You're going to go through the whole...
All four games? Yeah, Russ.
Okay.
All four of the games that
happened.
Quickly,
please. Hurry.
St. Louis beat New York, and then L.A. beat D.C. Did you see how many fans were at the St. Louis game?
That's our XFL talk for the day.
I did not.
They're doing it in the old dome where the Rams played. They had the entire lower bowl was sold out.
It was pretty neat.
It's pretty wild.
So, obviously, you watched it, Trey.
Oh, no. I just saw screenshots. Mm.
Okay. Number 3.
Number 3. Attempts at cheating are a part of sports. Major League Baseball said in urging a federal judge to dismiss a lawsuit by fantasy contestants. 5 men sued MLB Advanced Media, the Houston Astros, and the Boston Red Sox in federal court in Manhattan, claiming fraud, violation of consumer protection laws, negligence, unjust enrichment, and deceptive trade practices by the teams that violated MLB's rules against the use of electronics to steal catcher signs. The 5 said they participated in DraftKings fantasy baseball contests. Quote from the MLB, "Rules violations, large and small, intentional and unintentional, technical and game-changing, are a never-ending source of sports television, talk radio, web, and elevator commentary by sports pundits and fans alike."
Elevator commentary?
Plaintiffs got exactly what they bargained for. Contests determined by baseball players is actual performance on the field, whatever the contributing factors, predictable or unpredictable, may have been. And then they added, not one plaintiff claims they lost a fantasy baseball contest as a result of sign stealing or otherwise. So basically, Major League Baseball is saying, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Well, I mean, cheating is a part of competition. It's not a good part of competition or a fair part of competition, but it is something that happens.
But in this situation, they're saying, for them to use that, it's fine.
I don't know that the court of law should get involved here.
No, but Major League Baseball is saying, cheating's fine in baseball. It's fine. No,
Major League Baseball has a problem. They have not handled this well, for sure.
Number 4, Colorado officially named former Miami Dolphins assistant coach Carl Durrell, as their next coach. Durrell was the head coach at UCLA from 03 to 07, during which he led the Bruins to 5 bowl appearances and amassed a record of 35-27. He was fired at the end of the 07 season despite the Bruins reaching a bowl game.
What a terrible hire, man. It's just awful.
You get fired from Vanderbilt for lack of knowledge.
But to go from the guys that they were reportedly having conversations with, Sarkisian.
Graham Harrell.
The Chiefs, Bielema.
Oh, man, those are good names. I think particular Bielema. Bielema and Sarkisian all would have been home run hires for Colorado. And to go to Carl Durrell, a guy who was a spectacular failure at UCLA. Ugh.
Is this what Tennessee coaching searches look like from the outside? Where we have these names, we're like, this guy, and then we end up with Derek Dooley.
Maybe.
Number 5, ESPN has released their way too early college football top 25. If you remember last week, Tennessee was ranked in the top 25 of the S&P and FPI projections. However, ESPN doesn't have Tennessee ranked.
I don't know the first thing about – it is an outrage. College baseball and how they do their polling.
Football. But, it's college football.
I'm sorry. I thought you were ranting about baseball team not being ranked.
They're way too early. College football, top 25.
Oh.
Tennessee not ranked. They have USC ahead of us.
I don't have a problem with that. They got a better quarterback.
Yep.
Should we be ranked going into the – will you be outraged if we're not ranked – in the preseason top 25 this year?
For the sake of this segment, yes, I would be outraged. I mean,
will you be like Jamie Utah wanting to take up the pitchforks and torches and march to reinstall
Lane Kiffin,
our dear leader, Bruce Pearl? Yeah.
No. I just thought it was interesting. ESPN hates Tennessee again. So,
did they ever really stop?
Yeah, when they put us in the top 25 in the FPI projections.
Okay, sorry.
That's five.
Top five at five, brought to you by Knoxville Smiles, folks. If you haven't been to the dentist in a little minute, you've been putting it off, put it off no longer. Go see our friends at Knoxville Smiles online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Whether you need a general cleaning, cosmetic dentistry, implants, restoration, whatever it is, they can handle it at Knoxville Smiles. Dr. Stephen Malone, right here in Knoxville, been practicing dentistry for almost 20 years. He does a great job. And you can go, again, check them out online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. I honestly can't believe, and we were talking during the break, like that Jamie's not like, that's not some act or something. He honestly, harboring hope of Bruce Pearl coaching here again someday.
Yeah.
That will never happen. That's kind of sad to me that like.
Like, I know it'll never happen. I'd love for it to. I miss him terribly.
See, I don't even think about it. Like, it's – I mean
– I don't until weekends like this.
I would love to be a billionaire and own the Tennessee Titans. I don't think about it. I don't wonder about it. I don't, like, fantasize about it.
Yeah,
like,
but it's just harder when you see, you know, Bruce in the Final Four last year and Bruce coming back from 17 against us. And
yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah. Sometimes
it's not like Bruce chose to leave. Suck. Yeah, I know. That's what makes it harder for people like Jamie. Bruce didn't want to leave. Bruce would still come back. We know those are both facts. And that's what makes it
Bruce
so hard on
Bruce screwed Brute. Bruce. Simple as that. And the fact that whenever Tennessee fans can get over that, probably make their basketball enjoying a little bit better.
I think most fans have. I mean, it still hurts when you lose a game the way you did to him the other day. But I think, like, when Konzo Martin was here in those first 3 years after, and we were struggling, there was a sense that – and it was a long shot, but it wasn't – it didn't seem like a fantasy. It was like, okay, his show cause is going to be up. Maybe if the timing works out and, like, maybe we can bring him back. It's a long shot, maybe a very long shot, maybe like a 1 or 2% chance, but there's a chance. There's no chance at this point. It would never happen.
No. It's almost like USC fans clamoring for Pete Carroll to come back. It's never happening.
Let's talk to T-Carp up next on The Drive. Good afternoon, T-Carp.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. I really, really enjoy Jamie's calls, and I agree with him on a lot of things. If the whole ex-girlfriend thing, are we going to have this conversation the first time Lane Kiffin beats us? Like, I'm serious. Like, the first time he goes down to Alabama.
No, because it's completely different. Going.
Well.
Okay.
Lane,
completely different. Lane screwed us over.
I don't know that he has to beat us, T-Cart, but I'll say this. If for some reason, we talked about it Friday, like how does the Jeremy Pruitt thing end here? Does he stay here forever? Does he get another coaching job? Does Bama come and take him away? Or does he flame out and we fire him? If Lane Kiffin strings together five or so successful seasons at Ole Miss and Jeremy Pruitt moves on, whether we shove him out the door or somebody come and plucks him away, one, and Lane Kiffin is being successful down there, yes, there will be conversations about bringing him back.
The big thing is
Now, it'll never happen with Fulmer in charge, but people will be talking about it.
I think the problem between there's so much parallel with Bruce and Lane, though, because there's been flirtation with the fan base still. Like, when Bruce left, he was, I can't remember what company he worked for, but they made a daggum position for him. He never left. Mm-hmm. And with Lane, I mean, Lane, as you well know, he's been on the radio station here at Fox Sports. I mean, you know, Trey, you had him on. So there's still that flirtation, and they're both well aware that the fan base or a segment of this fan base still loves them. So to Jamie Utah's point, you know, he wants to be here. There's fans that want to be here. And if he's a better head coach than what you had, and your head coach was going to leave for UCLA, I see the logic in that. Is it completely illogical? I don't think so. I mean, if you have and we paid $5 million to keep the guy, and he's not getting us into the tournament this year, and Bruce is over there having fun at number 12 and making Final Fours, I mean, I see the frustration. I see the people being upset. I don't think he's a lunatic for that. I think he expects more out of the University of Tennessee than we should expect. We shouldn't expect nice things. Am I still beaten down that we shouldn't expect nice things?
No, but here's the thing is, it's not like we are eating a bowl of dog poop in lieu of having a great team. We've still got a really good program, as evidenced by last season and what's coming in next season and what probably would have happened this year if Lamonte Turner hadn't gotten hurt. But it's just, you know, you look at Pearl taking them to a Final Four and having whatever it is, I think a four-game win streak on us now. Like, it hurts, man. It hurts to lose to that guy, of all people.
Of course, and I definitely get that. I think another problem is you know, he wanted to leave. It seems like Barnes didn't want to be here, and the guy went in Final Fours did want to be here. So, I mean, that's a mind screw, is it not? But anyway, guys, y'all be good. See y'all.
That is a good point. It did feel like Rick didn't want to be here. It felt that way. I can't lie.
He was flirting with his dream job. I mean, if...
My God. I could say my dream job, ESPN, flirt with them. I could say anything's my dream job.
Yeah, but guess what? Your ass might get something better out of it at the place you're at.
I'm just saying. I understand the point that he's
making.
Well,
there's no doubt.
My dream job is being on the radio with Russ, if anybody's wondering. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but I don't get it. Why does everybody worried about him looking at, I get it. I understand it.
We want to be loved.
You can't use it as an excuse right now.
We want to be loved.
Yeah, I can use anything as an excuse.
He got more money just like anybody else would get more money.
White rabbit.
Out of a situation. But he looks at his dream job, a place that wouldn't coach dead.
And it's a weird dream job.
He favors that. Why? But it's UCLA though. Back in his day, think about it.
But we as Tennessee want someone who wants us. We want someone that thinks that we're the dream job. That's what we think and we expect.
Tennessee basketball is not a quote dream job.
But we're fans, fanatics. That's what we think.
Bruce Pearl.
I think that's, to go back to the Kiffin analogy, I think that's one thing that people like. Mm-hmm. He always. For a guy that left us for his quote-unquote dream job, like, he still showed us a lot of love and continues to show us a lot of love.
I think part of that is he's admitted to people, he's admitted on a radio show here in town that he knows that it was a mistake leaving the way he left. Mm-hmm. If he could go back and not do it, he would.
His dad did too. His dad said the same thing.
I think it's just pretty obvious. And I don't – $5 million a year.
It just hit me who Bear looks like.
Oh, God.
Who?
Jesse Ventura.
He looks like...
Oh, the guy from Breaking Bad.
Heisenberg.
Yeah. Yes!
You look like Heisenberg.
A little bit.
I got like 150 pounds on Heisenberg.
Or his brother-in-law, the DEA agent.
You need to get yourself that black hat.
Ooh.
I might.
You look like a cross between Heisenberg and Hank.
Yeah.
Hankenberg.
Definitely. Definitely.
It's not a...
I mean, I can go down the list of what you guys look like.
I'm not making fun.
You and John.
You look good.
Dre and Hayden are being quiet, so I'm going to leave them out of it. I'm not
going to
target the two of them. But I am going to target both of you all.
Wow. I'm not targeting you.
I mean, we could have said worse. I think those are pretty good.
I mean, John, you look like a turd, and you sandwich wrapper had a kid.
Oh. Oh.
Wow.
All right, I'm going to go get some baseball interviews. Y'all be good.
That's a big difference.
That's a
I'm not getting killed near.
It's a terrible thing to say.
I throw heat, man. I'm sorry.
No, you're not sorry. That's the problem.
I'm really
not. What we said throwing heat at you.
I'm sorry.
It just is. I felt like I took it as an insult. You got to go to break.
This is going to be awkward here now.
That's all right.
Awkward break.
Getting out before the awkwardness.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio.
The Drive. It's like no other. This is The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. So, this is absolutely hysterical. Deontay Wilder is saying that he wants a rematch with Tyson Fury. And have you seen what he's saying? One of his excuses for...
No.
For looking bad?
What's he saying?
I swear to God, I'm not making this up. Well, I mean, I don't know the source here. Lance Pugmire, senior boxing writer for The Athletic.
What a great boxing writer.
Pugmire. That is good. Yeah, that is good.
My name's Lance Pugmire.
Deontay Wilder tells me he is definitely exercising his rematch clause for a summer trilogy against Tyson Fury, that his legs were weakened by his 45-pound costume he wore to the ring to honor Black History Month.
Seems legit.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. He's 6 foot, what, nine?
45 pounds.
245 pounds. He could probably, you know, get a shot in a camp in the NFL playing speed rush defensive end.
Well,
I mean, he's a freak. Well, I don't buy it.
Okay.
You know what it was?
Well, hold on. That's a good point. But the other good point is, nobody held a gun to your head and said you need to wear the 45-pound costume to the ring.
He didn't seem when he took his mask off and was making all his goofy faces at Tyson Fury. I mean, and Tyson Fury was a clown, but I mean, at least he was smart enough to get carried to the ring by those hot chicks.
Yeah, he's not dumb.
I think what had more to do with your legs going rubbery was that right that Tyson Fury planted in your ear and cut, burst your eardrum, whatever. He was losing a lot of blood.
Do we need to see a third fight between these two?
No, I want to see Fury, and I'm gotten back into boxing now. I want to see Fury Joshua. I want a unified title.
See, the Anthony Joshua people have to be kicking themselves, because when he beat Klitschko like 2 or 3 years ago, and Wilder still hadn't really fought anybody, the boxing world, that was the matchup everyone wanted to see, was Wilder versus Joshua. And the Wilder camp wanted it, but the Joshua camp slow played it, and not because, I don't think necessarily because they were scared, but because it's the same thing, the same reason that Mayweather ducked Pacquiao for all those years. Not because he was scared, but he just didn't want to risk losing. And then you always have that fight to build, and then you can just fight guys and, you know, the interest there, the public, and then you fight it at the end and you make your money and you go off. That's what Anthony Joshua thought he was going to do. He thought he was just going to go up there and fight this Tomato King, Andy Ruiz, and some other guys. And he'll fight Wilder 3 or 4 years down the line after they've both made a boatload of money, and then just cash in on that one. Well, he ends up getting beat by Andy Ruiz. Tyson Fury comes out of retirement and whips Deontay Wilder. And now that's the fight everybody wants to see, and people have kind of forgotten about Anthony Joshua. Strike while the iron's hot, man.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to see Fury Wilder 3. Because after going back and watching Fury Wilder 1, other than when Wilder knocked him down, I mean, they jobbed Fury out of that one, other than the knockdown.
I think Tyson Fury's a pretty damn good boxer, man.
Yeah.
I mean, has there ever been a guy 6'9", 270 pounds that can move, that has the feet and the fast hands like
the
that?
The boxing chops
that he has. Yeah, I mean, like, how would he do against other great heavyweights?
I don't know about height-wise. I think that people often overlook Tyson. And, you know, a lot of people think he was just a brawler, but he was a really good boxer.
He was only like 5'10", maybe?
Yeah, probably close to 5'11", 225.
I mean, Muhammad Ali was 6'3". What would, the dude's got like, what, an 83-inch reach?
Yeah, and just the leverage and just how much, you know. I mean, that shot to the side of your head, to your ear from that guy. You imagine that thing landing like a bomb? Remember, me and you thought it was because of where he'd had those crazy-looking earrings. That's not what was bleeding.
I don't know. They've gone back and forth on that. He's saying now that his eardrum didn't.
Yeah, I think it's a really bad look for boxing. They kept letting that guy go. Around about the fourth round when they had him in the corner, blood was just flowing out.
And his equilibrium, like he couldn't, he was just wobbly the rest of the entire fight.
And then he got knocked down by that gut shot.
It was a good night for boxing, man. That was the most exciting heavyweight fight probably since Mike Tyson fought Lennox Lewis back in the early 2000s. Like, that's. And it's just something about the heavyweight division, man. You can have all the Pacquiao fights, all the Mayweather fights you want, all the De La Hoya fights that you want, Triple G, Canelo, whoever is out there. But there's just something about the heavyweight champion of the world that brings in the casual boxing fan that makes it huge.
I like the 6'8", 6'9", heavyweights. Like, it's like Mountain and the Hound going at it.
Beano Cook.
It's a pretty cool thing. Well, thank DJ Loop for having us out.
Yeah, I hate that it was selling because he made some crazy good wings.
Yeah, he did. Bear was getting a little cranky when he realized, like, we thought the middleweight fight or whatever that was happening was going to be
that
the
was
last
actually a
prelim.
Pretty good fight.
We thought that was going to be it.
It was a super featherweight.
And then when Bear found out that there was a heavyweight fight before,
I came real close to taking off.
I could tell. I was like, oh man,
Bear's getting antsy.
Yeah, he's going to leave.
Well, it had to be up early on Sunday, so.
Fight didn't start till after midnight.
It was crazy, but once that fight started, you didn't see me going anywhere. Great fight.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to see it again. I feel like
I'd like to see Tyson Fury just batter Anthony Joshua.
That was pretty darn dominant, man. I don't know if there is anybody that can go with that. He might just be one of those freakish fighters that nobody can.
So where do you rank the Gene Simmons like? Tongue flicking, licking the blood off Deontay Wilder's
It's right
neck.
Up there with, I mean, you know.
As far as freaky things you've seen in boxing.
It's right up there with Tyson biting Holyfield's ear. And, like, obviously that's different because you stop the fight and he's disqualified for that. But, like.
Because, like, my top four crazy moments are probably Vontaze Burfict trying to kill Antonio Brown. Tyson biting off of Vander Holyfield's ear. That crazy bald-headed soccer dude that almost killed that guy by headbutting him. And then this.
Miles Garrett slinging the helmet at the...
Ooh, I forgot about that. Yeah. He didn't sling a helmet. He was trying to crush his skull with it.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going all sports, I mean, boxing is just... That's the other good thing about heavyweight boxing fights is there's a... You remember the Fan Man happened in a Holyfield match. the Tyson ear-biting... The Tyson, there was the one where, like, there was a near riot where there were, like, a bunch of cops got in the ring, and he's, like, swinging at cops and stuff.
Oh, he's crazy.
The Andrew Galata thing where the dude, like, starts hitting him on the back of the head with that Zach Morris cell phone, and just, like, that one got really ugly in Madison Square Garden.
Is that the one where they were throwing chairs?
Oh, yeah. It was insane.
Chairs were flying. Who did he beat the living crap out in a street fight? Mitch.
Tyson?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mitch Green.
Yeah, like he beat him in that. I don't think Mitch Green ever fought professionally again, did he?
I think he rearranged his face.
Should have kept his mouth shut.
No, man, boxing.
What'd you think about how Iron Mike looked good, didn't he? He had a little bit of gray in his beard.
Age is treating him well. I still like just that face tattoo, man.
Yeah, I mean,
I wonder if he.
You think he regrets it?
He's got to, right? I mean, it's a face tattoo.
Dude, he's got a pet tiger. There's no way he regrets that.
What the hell does him having a pet tiger have to do with
whether
or not? Because
he's insane. Who the hell has a pet tiger?
Really rich guys.
Would you have a pet tiger if you were rich?
Those magicians in Vegas. What's their name?
Siegfried and
Siegfried
Roy.
And
yeah.
Roy.
Yeah. One of them almost got his face
got
eaten
decapitated.
Off.
Mm.
That guy die finally?
I think so.
Are they both dead?
I don't
think. No, I think just one.
I think just one. Siegfried or Roy. I can't remember which.
Huh. I would have liked to see that show. Big magic guy.
I wouldn't want to be in a room where there's nothing between me and full-grown Bengal tigers.
Tigers hate pepper. They love cinnamon.
That's strange, but an obscure animal fact is always welcome on the drive.
Y'all want to take a little break and do a little jam or not a jam?
Hell yeah.
Sweeping the nation.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Back with more right after this.
The drive is the best there was and the best there ever will be. This is The Drive.
Portions of the show today brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue. You guys coming up with me tomorrow? You got plans? John Tyler's in. Hayden, you got school? You can go to Rickard Ridge? Can't.
Let me bring you back something. I'll bring you back something.
Some
what do you
ribs
want?
Or something? What do you want? You look like a ribs guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Bib and all.
Oh yeah. Definitely tucks the
full
napkin
rack
in.
Big rack of ribs guy.
Mm, great.
Some sausage.
Mm. All right. Let's do a little
it's weird
jam or not a jam. People had fun with this last year. See if we can.
Last year. You
last
did this
week?
Last year? Oh.
No. Yeah. It's still kind of new.
I hear this is the game that's sweeping the nation.
Yeah. Classic. Back in the day.
Oh, man.
Makes me think of Shrek.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Really makes me think of that movie. It's like based on Rat Race. That's the name.
Ooh,
of the movie.
That's a funny movie. Underrated.
They used it on that.
Mr. Bean's in it.
Yeah. All Star by Smash Mouth. Jam or not a jam? It's a tough one.
Yeah, because the part of
so
me that
catchy,
loves a lot of the bands
it's
that me and
it's
you
so
act
campy
snobby,
and,
but yeah. You know, I'm kind of afraid I'm gonna, you know, lose some street cred, but I'm going to go ahead and do it, Russ, because I'm honest about my evaluations. The song low-key is kind of a jam.
All right.
Yeah.
Gets the bear seal of approval.
Hayden?
Hayden Wallen, you got...
Were you even born when that song came out?
No.
That's like golden oldie
this
to
is
you,
late
isn't
90s.
It?
We bother you here to join in with us?
I think it's a jam.
It's a jam,
oh,
man.
Oh, wow. 3 for 3.
Okay.
Big time.
All right. Gets the seal of approval. How about that? Now, this was submitted by one of you. I won't say which. Who submitted
well,
this?
Well, wasn't me because...
Nobody pray for me. It been a day for me.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I remember syrup sandwiches and crumb allowances for this and
I, remember that scene in Rain Man when he's trying to make his breakfast and the smoke detector goes off?
No, it's been a while since I've seen it.
Where he starts slapping himself uncontrollably.
Jeopardy.
That's the reaction you get when this song comes on?
A little bit. I do like the beat, though. It's got a good beat. Is this what you kids call trap music?
What's trap music?
Some kind of style of hip-hop. I don't know. I mean, I Where's judge stuff like this
Is
against
the coming? Is there a hook?
My left stroke just went viral. Right stroke.
Viral. I don't know. No, I'm really not feeling this.
Not?
No, but I mean, you got to keep in mind, man. I came up with the True Masters. N.W.A. Tupac.
That's
Dr. Dre.
Humble by Kendrick Lamar, the clean version.
No, no.
Not a jam, says Bear.
No, not a jam.
John Tyler.
And there's no in-between, is there? It's either is
jam
or
not
isn't.
A jam.
He is a protege of Dr. Dre's, though.
I'm gonna say jam. I liked it.
Russ, where would you land on that one?
No, it's not my jam.
Yeah,
no.
I'm not gonna listen to it in the car or anything. But if it came on, I wouldn't be mad.
I mean, that's no Public Enemy or
Hayden. Outcast. This is your submission. I take it this is your jam.
Oh yeah, look. look at it.
Well, it came out like 3 years ago, but we're trying to get some more diversity going on. So
is that like all the music's white music thing? Or
no, something? It's just older. We're trying to get some newer stuff.
Oh, it's okay. Ages so, to young
thing. Ageism. All
right. Well,
okay. All right, to the next one.
Good job, Hayden.
See, to me, Smash Mouth is still pretty like current. Yeah. So
we were in our 20s and early 30s.
I know.
99 or something like that is when it came out.
It's okay. It's, so
99, I was in
two
my
to
20s.
One, 2-1, not a jam. Sorry, Kendrick Lamar. All right.
I said jam.
This is
Hayden said jam.
This is newer. This song, newer than the one that just played.
I am Dita, and this is Sprockets.
It's a new one.
I'm not digging it.
This came out a couple months ago. Guy's pretty big. He's going to be in town tomorrow.
Really? Mm-hmm. I don't like it.
Not a jam?
Not to me.
Kind of terrible, isn't it?
I don't think it's recorded very good.
You could just say it sucks. I mean, it's...
Well, no, I mean, I can't tell of the song because the mix is so weird.
Some of this might be just like our equipment playing through a laptop and all
no,
that
No, it's not. The loudest thing I can hear is the electric guitar.
Can you stop it? That'd be great. Thank
what
you.
What is that? Who is that?
That's Sturgill Simpson. Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Wow. Yep.
Not a big fan of that.
Kind of makes me want to slam my head in a door over and over again.
It's terrible.
That was Sturgill Simpson for real.
Why? That's his new Sturgill album. Simpson?
I told you a couple weeks ago. Like I was trying to, like just
broaden your horizon.
Yeah, and I was just like listening on the iTunes store, and I was like, that was his big hit off the new album. And it's like, God, it's terrible.
I thought he did like Bakersfield style country, like the Highwaymen.
Well, I think what happened was
he sold out.
That, and I think he did a bunch of drugs.
I'm not a grass expert, Russ.
I think he did a lot of drugs and like
is he banging 7 gram rocks.
That sounded good to him in his head, so that's what comes out.
Oh my gosh!
Which I mean, usually I'm not.
Look what happened to Sid Barrett? I mean, that's a good point.
I'm not totally opposed to drug use in
the creative process.
Yeah,
if you're a rock
to
star,
good music. Yeah,
yeah.
But
I mean, we aren't here. Really pretending that Pink Floyd didn't do any drugs before they wrote some of their records.
Hayden, jam or not a jam?
It's not a jam for me.
Oh, man. 0-3 on the
I can't believe
Sturgill.
That's because I've heard some of his stuff. It doesn't sound like Sturgill
Simpson.
It's weird.
I would have never guessed that.
I mean, that's like Chris Gaines kind of departure for me.
Yeah. Oh,
weird.
Wow. Forgot about that guy.
He's playing TBA tomorrow night. I think tomorrow or Wednesday.
Yeah. Is this Deborah Gibson?
Don't act like you don't know who this is, Bear. And it's Debbie Gibson. Thank you very much.
She's Deborah.
But this
now.
Is not Debbie. This is Belinda Carlisle.
Oh, it's a wow. banger then.
Jam.
She's in the Go-Go. She's a rock star, buddy.
Jam.
2-2, Hayden.
Come on, Hayden. Do it. Give in.
This could have been your parents' song, Hayden. You better say this is a jam.
Maybe you may have been conceived during the song.
It's a no for me then.
Oh, he said no.
Well, 2-1. It's still a jam.
Jam. Just give into it, Hayden.
2-1. Belinda Carlisle. Heaven is a place on earth.
It's a huge hit for her.
Jam. It is a jam, according to the Drive's panel of music experts here.
Is that it, or we got one more?
One more. This will be the fifth one. All you ready?
Yeah. Oh, jam. Jam.
I lick you boom boom, yeah.
Not a jam.
Not a jam.
What?
That may be the whitest thing we've ever played on the Drive.
Dude, that's a jam.
A little racist.
That's so jam.
Boom. All right, Hayden, you hold the fate of Informer by Snow. Have you ever heard that song before?
No.
Seeing his face, I'm not anticipating a jam.
He just heard Informer by Snow for the first
time. That
was
a hit during the blizzard of 90. That was a hit in 93, right?
I don't know, but it was a hit because it's a jam.
No. Now, I'll let you hear it one more time because, I mean,
how much money do you think this guy made off this song?
It's going to be stuck in your head, Hayden.
I lick your boom boom down. Former. What do you think, Hayden? Jam or not a jam?
I mean, it was kind of, it goes either way for me, but Russ's ad lib and dancing.
You don't like Russ's ad libbing?
Oh, he says no.
Oh, my God. I mean, your parents could have been jamming out at the club to this back in the early 90s. Do you have a hard time seeing your parents as like normal human beings or something, Hayden? You realize they were young once and like to go out with their friends and dance and party?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Exactly, Cody.
All right, so to review, we have these decisions are final. There can be no arguing with jam or not a jam. All-Star by Smash Mouth, jam, and a perfect 3 out of 3.
That's the first one. Perfect 3 for 3.
There you go. It's surprising that All-Star by Smash Mouth is the first perfect score in the history of the Scooby Games. It's easy to clown on, Russ,
but you can't deny the infectious melody. And hey, man, hooks, more hooks than the tackle box in that song. I'll give it to the guys. Not the first thing I'm going to grab to listen to. But it's pretty good.
Kendrick Lamar, Humble, not a jam by a 2-to-1 vote.
See, I've heard
Hayden dissenting.
No, John voted
I said
yes.
jam.
You did?
There was 2-to-1 jam.
No, it is a jam.
See, because Chance has played me some other Kendrick Lamar, and I've liked it.
It's not the best Kendrick Lamar, but I like
it. You didn't pick a good song.
Yeah,
it's most popular.
I didn't pick any song.
Really?
Okay, Sturgill Simpson, Sing Along. 0-for-3, not a jam.
Not a big fan of the new direction his music takes.
Probably be burned.
I would fire whoever mixed that record if I were him and remix it.
Belinda Carlisle, 2-to-1, jam.
Yes.
Remember the Go-Go's? Do you realize they had groupies? The Go-Go's did? For real. You ever seen
male groupies?
Yeah.
Huh.
That they like.
Just imagine Van Halen, but chicks. It was like that.
And they followed them around?
Well, no. I mean, they had to pick up them in any city. But, yeah, they had the Go-Go's had groupies.
What were their names?
I don't – who, the Go-Go's or the groupies? I have no idea. Who cares?
The groupies.
Why would you want to know?
I don't
want to
know their personal names, but like, what was the groupie like?
Steve and Fred.
No, like,
well, no.
Jeff. You call them like the Marty? Deadheads or the guys, people that followed around the Grateful Dead.
We're not talking about the same thing.
Oh my gosh.
The Go-Go Never dudes. Mind. The
Go-Gets. I don't know.
The Go dude. The
Just
go,
go on.
The Go Bros.
The Go Bros.
There you go.
The 19, 20, 21 year old boy toys, the Go-Go's were, you know.
Would you be a GoPro?
Back in the day?
Yeah.
If I didn't have anything else to do.
You seem to
and finally, Informer by Snow, not a jam
it's
by
a
2-to-1 margin. That is jam or not a jam on the Monday afternoon. Stay with us. The shocking conclusion of the drive coming up. Speak now, forever hold your peace. A final word on Rick Barnes, Bruce Pearl, and Tennessee basketball. You know, we can't close the door on this today because Bruce is coming to Knoxville in 2 weeks. So this doesn't end anytime soon. Stay with us. The Drive continues on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive. Smokeville sports fans. The Drive.
The one thing you wanted. It hasn't happened at all today, Bear. Does that make you mad?
What's that?
The whole, like, don't talk when we're trying to come back because...
Oh, I know.
Trey violated that.
Numerous times. John and...
trampled
all over
it.
These two sometimes will do it. Having a conversation while we're on the air is kind of fun to watch.
Wrapping up, Monday afternoon edition of the show... I'll give you a chance to walk back your comments from earlier, Bear.
About what? Bruce Pearl? I won't. I love him.
You said you would take Bruce Pearl back. You would kick Rick Barnes to the curb. Turn him loose to an uncertain future in the wilderness.
I don't know about that. Now you make me feel bad for Barnes.
Well, you should have thought about that before you started professing your non-dying love for Bruce
Why
Pearl.
Bring this back up? We were finishing on a strong note. We're all happy. We're doing music stuff. I was happy.
Because this is the big water cooler sports topic of the day in Knoxville.
I wouldn't fire Rick Barnes to get Bruce Pearl back.
You got
to
toughen up, Buttercup. You're going to roll with me. Him. Well, you're tougher than nails. I wouldn't fire Rick Barnes to get Bruce Pearl back, but if Barnes retires here in the next 2 or 3 years and Bruce Pearl is still laying it out there that he still loves us, I still love you, Bruce. Come on home.
What if you could get Steve Forbes and there's no way of getting Bruce Pearl? Would you call Steve Forbes?
Oh, Forbes is. I'm afraid we're going to miss the boat on Forbes. Forbes is going to end up being a big time coach.
Say how about this? Rick Barnes is 65 years old.
65 is a new 30.
How old is Bruce Pearl?
I'd say Bruce has got to be 58, 59 now.
Bruce Allen Pearl is 59 years old. Say,
interesting.
Say in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Barnes decides to hang it up. I'm 70. I want to spend time with my grandkids. The golden years.
Yeah.
I don't want to do the coach till I'm 80 thing. Bruce Pearl's 64 years old. He hasn't moved the needle any further. Maybe want conference championship, maybe a tournament championship, maybe another Final Four at Auburn. Rick Barnes decides to ride off into the sunset, and maybe he's quietly advocating that we hire one of his assistants or Rob Lanier or something like that. Hmm. If you're Philip Fulmer or whoever the athletics director happens to be in 5 years, would you look at bringing a 64-year-old Bruce Pearl home to finish out his career in the place that he never really wanted to leave to begin with? Is that even
– Where's Steve Forbes in this equation?
Yeah. I mean,
is he still at ETSU?
No. I mean, in 5 years, he's probably gone, and like he might replace Will Wade at LSU.
Oh,
he
God.
Might get the Vanderbilt job. I mean, he's.
You need Forbes to take the Vandy job.
Golly, man.
I would wait if I was him.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be Dan. I really think
maybe
he's going to be in the tournament.
If Penny flames out, I don't know.
How dangerous would Forbes and Shea be in Memphis?
I would call Forbes before I called Bruce Pearl.
That's a tough one. That is a tough one.
How old's Forbes? Younger, right?
Oh, he's much younger.
Hey, I got one for you, and we need to
45, 54? Wow.
Something we haven't talked about.
He's a young 54, though. Sorry, go ahead.
Something we haven't talked about at all with the basketball team. There's been another change to the basketball team this year.
Rob Lanier?
Yeah.
I brought it up on a VR once, and it kind of got dismissed, but I've wondered since the beginning how that worked out. I mean, if we're missing him.
I think the answer is yes.
I think so, too. Wasn't he big time at scouting? He was really good at scouting. Like at the opponents, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
I don't know, man. I felt like we were prepared Saturday. We went in there. We were doing the right things. We're playing the way we want to play. We just turned them all over 24 times.
Yeah, it happens when you don't have Vescovi in the game when he could have been.
But I wouldn't necessarily attribute that to a poor scout or
– No.
There was definitely some mismanagement down the stretch by our coaching staff. I think that criticism is 110% fair, and that's why we're so frustrated this afternoon is that it happened in that situation against that team, against that coach. It is, I'm not going to say unacceptable, but when you're making $5 million a year, it's like that's
– It's unacceptable.
Does Rick have someone on his staff that's willing to say – Coach, we got to do something different here. We've got to call a timeout.
Now that's a good question.
Is it just yes, man?
What are the conversations? Michael Schwartz is now the Rob Lanier. He's the associate head coach, and maybe it's up to him. He needs to tug on Rick Barnes' sleeve and say, "We need a timeout right now."
Mm-hmm.
Not, "Hey, coach, you might want to think about taking." No, we need a timeout now.
I feel like he's just got yes, man. They're just going to do what he says, not rock the boat.
I mean, I don't know if I call them yes men. They are. They love their coach, and they're very dedicated to him and fiercely loyal.
But are they going to send up to him and say, "We got to call a timeout, whether you want to or not, we have to"? I don't think he has someone on his staff to do that.
Wow. Let's get Roger in here. Roger will be our final caller of the evening. Hello, Roger.
Hey everybody. How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing all right, Rog. How about you?
Oh, doing good. I just want to ask you first is what's your question today, Russell, do you have one?
Who do you want to be your basketball coach, Raj? Bruce Pearl or Rick Barnes?
Rick Barnes, because he didn't criticize what happened, but I like him, you know. I want him to be here, you know.
So, you wouldn't take Bruce Pearl back, Raj?
No. The only way if Rick Barnes started retire, it's on way. But if not, but otherwise, no. I don't want. I like Rick Barnes.
Okay. Now, but if Rick Barnes retired, you'd take Bruce Pearl back in a heartbeat, wouldn't you?
I would. But I would be careful because the NCAA, you know, I'd be careful about that, you know. I don't want no NCAA.
Roger, bringing nuanced.
You gotta be careful, man.
I know exactly what you're saying. You bring back everything
that comes with him.
Roger, the being the voice of reason here, Russ.
Is his daughter going to sing the national anthem every game again?
Good.
I don't know. Like, maybe. I don't know.
It's a question.
Stephen Pearl's going to be back on the sideline. His former assistant at Auburn still going to be in prison. And the NCAA is always one step away. You never know. You never know. It's not funny. The Rifleman is going to the joint for 12 months. Actually, I don't know. He got off on all that, right?
I mean,
talk his way out of it.
Yeah, he's down at Club Fed or something. There's a work camp outside of Montgomery he probably got to go to.
Thank you, Raj. Appreciate it. We got a roll. Big thanks to Hayden Wallen for quality control this afternoon. How's that studying coming along? Math test.
Sorry to interrupt your study hall here with you know what you're supposed to be doing.
Thank you, DeBear. Thank you, Trey. Thank you, John Tyler. Overtime coming up next. We'll do it again tomorrow, 3 to 6 here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Hey guys, has erectile dysfunction got you down? Well, get back up and back in the game with WaveTech Medical right here.